So I just wanted to start off our show for November with just a bit of a program note. And of course, as everyone knows, you're finishing up your term as mayor. So this is the last regular show. But in December, on Friday the 4th, we're planning a live Ask the Mayor from a downtown location that we're going to confirm up, and we'll let everyone know. We have some time to get that news out there for Noon Edition. So thanks for
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate the special treatment.
letting us do that, and that should be fun. And of course, you've always been very good to us in terms of accessibility and doing this show. So hopefully that'll be a nice way to
I hope
kind
so. Thanks, Joe.
of to end it in December. But on to some business items, though. It's the thing that really seems to be picking up the most steam right now, that at least I keep feeling I'm hearing about and reading about, is the Trades District. We've seen meetings, we've seen some renderings from the Indianapolis developer. Though last month you hinted to that another proposal, and then just the next day, I think, or a few days later, we found out it was CTP Partners, who are some local developers. Can you give us maybe a little bit of a background on, since we haven't talked to you since then, on the new proposal from the second developer?
Sure. To be completely fair, I am maybe the last person to ask that question because it's not a real proposal. It, I think, was offered to throw confusion into the process. And these are people who, right before they introduced that, were calling for delay. And then this came. And they have their reasons, and I disagree with them, but they have their case to make. They're asking for $8 million. We can't tell because they haven't been clear about whether that's. They're offering $3 million to purchase the land. We can't tell if that would be deducted from the eight that they want. Would that count toward it? And it's really a $5 million subsidy they're looking for, or looking for eight. Either way, it doesn't offer at all what the FNC proposal does. And more importantly, I guess, in my opinion, is the tech sector, Envisage in particular, testified at the last RDC meeting where the CTP partner proposal was offered that they're not interested in working with them. They're wanting to work with FNC. That's what they're petitioning for now. So that's kind of telling, I guess not kind of, it's very telling as well. The other is that I don't know that CTP Partners will agree. The developers involved with that all have done rental housing in town, and I don't know that they will be open to something that FNC has said. Now, it hasn't been signed yet, so I want to make it clear that they say they are open to legally binding language that would restrict the housing that they're proposing, FNC is proposing, to be non-student rental housing. That's very important. And that is, not to exaggerate, but that would be a deal killer to me if they don't agree to legally binding language. I mean, part of the argument that people have made in opposition to what we're trying to accomplish here is that it's too much residential and that it's in the wrong place. I'll never be able to win the argument about whether it's the right place or not because that's the eye of the beholder. I have no trouble with it being where it is. But as to it being too much, first, the CTP Partners also has probably as much, if not more, housing. I believe it'll all end up being student rental, which is not what we want. The other thing is that to get the entirety of the proposal, which is really about locating Bloomington's largest tech employer into the heart of the Certified Technology Park, and to get all these other employers who are interested, Rough Cut Ventures, that's interested in all these people who are signing the petition, want to locate in the park, create employment in the park. All of those services, amenities, are going to be enabled, empowered by having the housing proposal. So it's something that's done. And that's because we are insisting on something that's not been insisted upon any place ever in Bloomington, that is non-student housing. And so there's a trade-off. And that's something I think you and I have talked about a year ago, is that there are trade-offs with trying to get things that are community vision oriented. If we simply wanted to say, well, you can do what you want, build all the chain retail restaurant, do student housing, we wouldn't have to worry about having trade-offs. But we're trying to do something unique to this district. So that's in the balance. I just don't think there's a comparison between the two proposals. And the argument really should be about whether we think the FNC proposal merits support or not.
Yeah, and we have talked about that. We had a good discussion about needing some more non-student residential, that that's a need.
Yeah.
And the question was, well, it's like the chicken and the egg. What comes first,
right.
The jobs or, but
right.
They need housing.
And what we're trying to do is simultaneous,
yeah.
That it's the chicken and the egg. And that's been important to us. So that, yes, it's more residential than I had assumed we would have to have in that area, but to financially make this workable, both proposals indicate that's needed to get the overall plan instituted. But at least we have something that's unprecedented in, so far as I know, in Bloomington's public-private partnerships, and that is that we have a developer who is willing to take the risk to say that we will sign to say that there will be no student housing. And in addition to that, we've been talking about, the community has been talking about, in fact, I think the entire Next Growth Policies Plan, the GPP, headed toward the new UDO, will call for a balance in the demographic in housing downtown. And that's what this will do. It will be year-round residents, not just student rental, to balance that demographic right along the Beeline Trail. It's exactly what we've been aiming for. It is more than what we were thinking would be happening there, and faster, but overall, we are getting to the goals of the certified tech park faster than we had anticipated if this proposal were to go through.
One more just quick thing on the CTP partners there. There was an HT report pretty much just saying that they felt like they were left out of the whole process. Is that fair to say?
No, they left themselves out of the process. FNC stepped forward when the request for proposals was put out. FNC stepped forward with a proposal that does vary from the vision of the tech park initially. And that's true of everything that gets done. And the irony is, all of those certified, the CTP partners, developers, if you go back and look at the developments they have proposed over the years, most of them, if not all of them, have tried to do things that the city code, city policies don't initially allow. And they seek waivers to that, they seek plan commission approval, they seek city council approval to do things that are beyond what the code might allow. That's completely allowable, it's part of the process. So to now say that, well, we didn't know that you could do something that extends beyond what the city code, what the CTP vision stated, is just sort of selective reasoning.
There's been some talk too about the process maybe moving too quickly before a new administration comes in. How do you feel like this transition needs to happen for this process to keep going though?
Well, you know, I understand that. And now let's just cut to the chase what this really is. This is people suggesting that this is just Cruzan trying to get something done for his legacy. Joe, I will tell you, I don't believe mayors have legacies. Mayors have legacies in their own minds. And if I was to walk out of this building, City Hall, and ask the next 10 people, which mayor got the City Hall built? Which mayor did the Miller Showers Park? Which mayor got the Beeline done? I'll be happy if one of 10 knows. My guess is none of the next 10 people you talk to will know. And that's how far the legacy goes. So I have no illusions. What I do feel is important is this has been the part of a long time process. And we've got a lot of interested businesses that want to locate in that park. We did not have much interest in the RFP when it went out. Now we have some latecomers. That's great. They're not proposing anything that's real. So they're not even close to what we were envisioning. FNC stepped forward and to be punished because, well, it's getting to the end of this mayor's term, just doesn't make sense to me. So I get the argument, I get the suspicion, I get the accusations. I can only say that we have employers, including the largest tech employer in the city that wants to locate in the certified tech park and thinks that FNC understands them, values tech business, and they want to be a partner with them. That's what this has been about from day one. I will also say for almost all the people who are using the argument, I can't think of any of them that were involved with the process up front. The last administration didn't discuss the 12 acres with the university. didn't negotiate with the university to acquire the land, didn't find a way to finance the acquisition of the land. My successor, 4 years ago, ran for mayor. There was no talk of the certified tech park. In the last 4 years, not been involved with this process. So I guess I would ask them the same question they're asking. Where have you been? Why has it taken so long? Why now are you bringing up these arguments?
I did have a chance to see the renderings. I assume you did too.
Absolutely.
Do they meet your expectations?
You know, again, the housing is more than what I want, the size and scale of that housing. On the other hand, there is a parking garage that is part of that, that is hidden. It is enveloped by the development as opposed to a freestanding parking facility, and that certainly adds to the scale of what they're doing. But that also, to me, was a plus of their proposal, is the hidden parking. They also are building excess capacity that will help to serve this part of the downtown area, and in a way that I think is much more aesthetically pleasing than having a freestanding garage. Like, if you just look at all the city garages as they are that were built, not the most attractive structures in the world. And so there's trade-offs in that. But yes, in terms of a building that will house on its first floor the headquarters for a tech business that's already agreed to locate there. This is a speculative building. These are being built for businesses that have already agreed to move into them. So yes, it's very much, it's actually, again, beyond what we'd imagined would happen in terms of timing. And in a way, Joe, we're actually suffering a little bit from the success here. Now, it sounds like a politician talking, but we're suffering from the fact that we have a developer that stepped forward with businesses, tech partners in hand. Had they not, I don't think we could have gotten this done by the end of 2015. I think it's 50-50 as to whether we can now anyway. But this was something that we thought we would have to see the residential built, tech come later. Well, here's a person, a company president saying, no, we want to locate now. We're ready to move into it as soon as it's ready to go. That's amazing. And I am surprised there are people wanting to, for all sorts of reasons, delay.
I did want to ask this question from Nick, who emailed this in, because it kind of goes along with this, although not particular development per se. He just has more of a generic question about, I'll just read what he wrote and you can kind of interpret it. It's, Mr. Mayor, what do you do? Does it overlap or conflict with the three council members who decide what gets built and where? Now, it's kind of it's a very generic question, but I'm wondering if he's talking about maybe the tech part, or maybe anywhere in town. Is how much does the mayor have influence or conflict over where things get built in the city?
Tell me about when you say the three council members.
Yeah, he just, does it overlap or conflict with the three council members?
Okay, I'm going to assume that's at large council members, because they do have jurisdiction at large. So I'm not sure I'm answering the right question. But, you know, people sometimes think the mayor gets to decide where things go. And certainly mayors do, you know, she or he can have influence on that process, mostly through the appointment process. For instance, the Plan Commission or the Board of Zoning Appeals makes decisions, planning staff, but the GPP, the UDO, the Growth Policies Plan, the Uniform Development Ordinance are written with public input, passed by citizen panels. And even in this case, you know, people are saying, well, you know, the mayor is trying to do this, or the mayor should slow this down, or whatever it is. And I appreciate the confidence people have that I have that much clout, but in my 42 days left here, it's a citizen panel, the Redevelopment Commission, that actually owns that land. You know, the mayor absolutely, I mean, we could say, no, we do not want this to happen, and I guess they could choose to follow those wishes, but they could also choose to ignore them. And we have asked for things before that have been voted down. So there's a pretty good democratic process in place here, that appointments are made by mayors and by council members, but ultimately those citizen panels, you know, the first thing I did when I got elected was to change the way in which a lot of these panels had been appointed. The boards and commissions that are appointed citizens, many of them, especially some important ones, had city employees appointed to them. So people now talking about transparency and we need to have public input, you know, that was important to me. And so we changed the way the process had been done and took city employees off every board and commission and put citizen members in their place. And I really believe you could go to every one of the 200 or 300 appointments I've made in 12 years, and I don't think you'll find one who will say the mayor called me and told me how to vote. Now, there are, I can think of on one hand, I think two instances where I've called and lobbied, and that's it. But ultimately, I would never ask somebody to serve as a board or a commission member simply to be a rubber stamp. I mean, then I may as well appoint my city employees to be on there and just do what I say. And that makes no sense. So yes, we influence, mayors can influence that process and should influence that process with their philosophies once they've run on them in an election. But ultimately, an awful lot of those decisions get made by citizen panels. And so you really are shaping decision-making by your appointments more so than by your stroke of the pen.
Well, hard to believe we're down to weeks here left, as you mentioned,
42 days.
You're down to...
Not that I'm counting.
And we hear a lot in the media in terms of the transition team and transitions in any election. So besides, we can tell, of course, if you listen to this on the radio, you don't see this, but I'm sure we'll have a photo on the website that we can tell that you've been busy. The place is packed up. There are boxes behind the mayor here. What all goes on right now in this transition period?
Yeah, you know, a lot. You know, and it's the clash of the administration that's leaving, wanting to tie up loose ends, get things done, and you've got a new administration excited to get going, and of course you've got employees who can get caught in the middle. You've got the outgoing mayor saying, we need to do this, the incoming mayor saying, I want to do this. Certified Tech Park, good example, puts people in an awfully awkward position. But that having been said, you know, John and I have already met a couple of times, talked about the transition, and you know, there are things, even you may recall in some of the budgeting that we did, that we intentionally didn't create new full-time equivalents, new city positions, use temporary dollars instead so that the next mayor can decide. At that point, it was the next mayor. We didn't have the election yet. We're trying to let them have more leeway as to what they want to do and not box them in under the new budget. So the transition actually started months ago, even before we knew who the new mayor was going to be. But within the building itself, you know, obviously there's even, you know, the impact that you have just as people when boxes being filled and some people unfortunately have to go. The tone and tenor of the building certainly changed toward the more bleak on Friday with the announcement of how many people were going to be let go. I think it came as a surprise to people, even to supporters of the mayor-elect. I think there were some who didn't expect that kind of change. And I don't think the change is done. I think there's some more coming. And so the lack of certainty, but I also want to say I think people ought to allow a new person the time to have that discretion. I know I only changed two department heads. A third was changed through retirement, and there are people who 12 years later have not forgiven me for those changes. And you know, that's what elections have consequences. So if you were really concerned about the things you're upset about now, that the time to get upset about that and to do something about it was the primary. But now we have a new person coming in. It's the way transitions work. It's the way elections work. And a new administration, we want them to, you know, I really do believe, no matter who it is, who it would have been, they succeed, the city succeeds, period.
We'll talk to you one more time, but what are you trying to maybe kind of wrap things up? Are there two or three things at the top of your desk right now? Maybe not literally, but, you know, just speaking?
Yeah, the Certified Tech Park is obviously the most time-consuming, and that could be done by the time people see this or hear this interview. If the RDC doesn't approve it, then it'll be put off until 2016, and we don't know when it will resurface, but that means we won't be moving forward with the Certified Tech Park, with the RDC, or with the Plan Commission. If they approve And again, the approval that's being sought right now, a lot of people have misconstrued this as being the final deal. What the vote would be tonight is simply to allow the city staff to enter into formal negotiations. So it's still got a ways to go, and you've got the plan commission, so there's a lot of public hearings left, but that does mean a lot of time. The awkwardness is two or three of the staff people most invested in this are in flux, and so that's, they're also in the same position I am. And so it's just, that's just the nature of the beast, and that's the way things have worked out. The other are transition related, is making sure that we get all the things in place so that, tell you what, midnight January 1, if we're under a foot of snow, as we have been a couple of years in my 12 on Christmas or New Year's, we want to make sure that everything's in place for the new people to come in and be able to continue to run the city. So getting the transition related information prepared is an awfully big one. And thank yous. Getting out, thanking political supporters, but also supporters within this building, staff. I mean, people, it's an amazing thing that as I look back on it, to think people change their lives to come work here. That's an amazing thing. And I hope that they feel that they've changed their lives through the experience they've had as a staff member in the last 12 years for the better, and that they realize all that they've done to make Bloomington a better place to live.
Am I missing anything, or anything that you want to at least? I mean, I know there's.
No, I am looking forward to December 4th. There have been a lot of different iterations of Ask the Mayor over the years, a few different hosts, and I just really want, for those who might miss that because it's on a different format, I just want to thank you so much for all that you've done. And we used to meet over at the studio. I can't tell you how much easier it's made it to not have to navigate the parking. People don't like parking downtown. Try to go park around. Radio TV building and during a construction season in particular. So thank you so much for all that you've done.
Okay.
I'll thank you again next month, but for those who might not catch it, thanks, Joe.
Thank you.